jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
With Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
Please have a seat, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Hello, welcome, my friends. Good to see you. Welcome. Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, all around the world, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And folks, check your calendars, because it is the first day of Hispanic Heritage Month, in which we honor the resilience, influence, and cultural contributions of Hispanic Americans in the middle of a month. Because nothing says appreciation quite like, oh, damn, is it the 15th already? Okay, your month starts now. Lo siento. One guy who's got an odd way of celebrating Hispanic heritage is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Seen here saying, he's Spartacus, get him! Yesterday, DeSantis flew two planes of Hispanic immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. Hey, Ron, if you're trying to discourage immigration, maybe don't send people to one of the loveliest parts of New England just in time for leaf peeping season. Now sit down! Everybody, you hear me? Sit down and enjoy the hayride. Of course, DeSantis wasn't sending these folks to the vineyard to have a good time. He was human trafficking these families as a political stunt, just like it says on the Statue of Liberty. Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to psych! You just got libertied! In fact, it wasn't worth it. I guess so. Why not? In fact, Florida officials lied to these people and told them they were going to Boston, and they didn't tell Massachusetts officials that the planes were coming, but local residents responded. As the town's state representative tweeted, our island jumped into action, putting together 50 beds, giving everyone a good meal, providing a play area for the children, making sure people have the health care and support they need. We are a community that comes together to support immigrants. Yes, DeSantis owned those libs by making them look compassionate. Just like that cuck, Jesus. Send that guy a truckload of lepers, see how he likes it. Of course, DeSantis's hate stunt don't come cheap. This year, the state of Florida's budget for this kind of stuff is $12 million. You know, maybe with global warming and all, I'm gonna say Florida should be spending that money on something more useful, like snorkels or or waterproof meth. For the gators. It's for the gators. Don't come between a gator and his meth. There's some exciting news about a thing I didn't see happening, because this morning the White House announced it has reached a tentative agreement to avert a national rail strike. At least I think we did, because like all train announcements, it sounded like this. The main issue was rail workers asking for sick leave, and negotiations went down to the wire, with the final stages beginning yesterday morning and lasting 20 hours until President Biden called in around 9 p.m. This is what Joe Biden was built for. Trains, unions, talking for 20 hours. The only way the situation could have been more Joe Biden ready is if the lead negotiator was an ice cream cone wearing aviators. In fact, we have footage. We have footage of the moment the union leader invited the president in.
Release the Biden.
Choo-choo!
Biden said in a statement that the agreement would give workers better pay, improve working conditions,
and peace of mind around their health care costs, plus as many flattened pennies as they want. This deal was a chance for Biden to prove he supports unions. He certainly talked about it a lot, like on Labor Day.
You're the best laborers in the world. You build the best product. No, I'm not just joking.
You're not joking. But, Mr. President, are you just saying that?
I'm not just saying that.
Okay. But what do you think about union auto workers?
We're lucky to have the most skilled auto workers in the world.
Okay, that's got to be hyperbole.
That's not hyperbole.
But surely, sir, you don't think that unions built more than just our transit system.
Unions built the middle class.
Really? Can we fact check that?
That's a fact.
You gotta be joking.
I'm not joking.
I forgot you're not joking. Now I just feel stupid.
You're the best in the world.
Thank you, Mr. President. Very nice of you to say. Well, there's some news about far-right Colorado representative and homecoming queen of Fury Road High, Lauren Boebert. Last week, Boebert. Chanting your name, Lauren. Last week, Boebert was reading a Bible passage at a conference when this happened.
And then all hell broke loose. Rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious backstabbing. They made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing. I don't know what a wanton killing is. I'm gonna have to look that one up.
I don't know what it is either, but if anyone ever witnesses a wanton killing, you know who you have to call.
Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police.
It's true. It cools it down. The gazpacho police cool down the situation of the wonton killing. The primaries for 2022 are finally over, and with control of the Senate up for grabs, Republican voters played it safe and nominated the kookiest, zaniest conspiracy wackos this side of Nutso Banana Junction. For instance, New Hampshire Republican and man demanding you salute his belt. Don Bolduc. Bolduc is so MAGA crazy, even New Hampshire's Republican governor described him as a conspiracy theorist extremist. Bolduc is polling behind his moderate Democratic opponent, which could be why Bolduc went on TV today and when confronted with what he said in the primaries, did this.
And there's this from August 14th when you had a debate. Watch here.
I signed a letter with 120 other generals and admirals saying that Trump won the election, and damn it, I stand by my election.
Do you stand by that today?
So, you know, we live and learn, right?
So we moe in New Hampshire, the newest Hampshire, the lions speak tuna. I'm sorry, Bolduc. I interrupted. You were desperately hedging.
And I've done a lot of research on this, and I've spent the past couple of weeks talking to Granite Staters all over the state from every party. And I have come to the conclusion, and I want to be definitive on this, the election was not stolen.
Wow. Normally, to see that much backpedaling, you have to watch the Tour de France on rewind. Of course, all these right-wing crazies are getting their cues from former President Optimus Crime. We're getting some new revelations. We have some new revelations about that last guy in a book called The Divider by Peter Baker and Susan Glasser. According to their book, the former president told Jordan's King Abdullah that he would give him the West Bank. First of all, you can't promise to give away something you don't own. Hey, happy birthday. I got you your neighbor's truck. You're going to want to change the plates and haul ass. Here he comes. Here's the thing. The West Bank is full of Palestinians, and Palestinians in Jordan have repeatedly tried to overthrow the monarchy. So when he heard the offer, King Abdullah was less than thrilled, saying, "I thought I was having a heart attack. I couldn't breathe. I was bent doubled over." Okay, sounds bad, or maybe that's just what happens when some people get a gift. We all remember that famous jewelry commercial.
Every kiss begins with, my heart!
And also, well, she died happy. Also, there are also a couple of revelations about the former president's one-time chief of staff, John Kelly, seen here too tired to punch himself in the face. Kelly was often at odds with the former president. At one point, when he refused to lower the flag after Senator John McCain's death, Kelly told him, "If you don't support John McCain's funeral, when you die, the public will come to your grave and piss on it." Gotta stay hydrated. We got a great show for you tonight.
Up next, Queen Latifah. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
My first guest tonight is an actress with the number one movie on Netflix and one of the most popular shows on network television. Please welcome the star of End of the Road and CBS's The Equalizer, Queen Latifah. I wish more of my guests would start off the interview with a woo!
More like a
woo! Well, you have a lot to be hooting and happy about, because this morning you had a lovely ceremony. You came from a lovely ceremony. Aww. I'd like to show you this photo right here. You opened a school named after your late mother, Rita Owens. What is that like? And what is the significance of this school to your family?
I'll tell you, this is a huge thing for our family. My mother was an educator. She taught high school, but she also taught life. She taught love. She taught empowerment for children. She was an educator. And, you know, we have to have a lot of respect and love for our educators. They do so much.
Who else in this photo here?
But this is also like the first, this is the first STEAM Academy in Irvington, New Jersey. So this is really like the beginning of the future for these children who she loves so much. And who's in that picture? Who you got there?
Who you got here?
Yeah, you got my grandmother in there. Hey, right Nene! Hey, Nene!
That's nice.
You know, so thank you to Mayor Voss and Dr. April Voss for making this happen, and my partner, Sha Kim.
And here's you and your mom.
There is my
back
mom.
In 30 years ago.
That's my
there
mom.
Tell me about your mom. What did you learn from her?
Gosh. Love. Love. I learned love. I learned to love. She's the first person to love me. And so I learned love. And I learned that when we're given things, we have to give back. So I also learned to love hip-hop.
From your mom?
My mother was a hip-hop head. Like, I remember getting in her car one time, and I turned the radio on, and it was saying, "It's just another case of that old PTA." I was like, "Ma, what you doing with Leaders in the New School playing in your car, Busta Rhymes?" She was literally playing that song. She's a hip-hop head. But my mom, if it weren't for her, I would not be here today, because she was a class advisor. So she would hire the DJs for the class fundraisers. And she introduced me to my first DJ, who became my producer, who got me signed to Tommy Boy Records. I became a rapper. All my boys became rappers. And so She used to go to the shows with me in the beginning. Like, she was really involved in our growing up in hip hop. You know, she just really listened to the youth and she stayed connected. So if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be here.
That's lovely. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, she respected things.
Now, another member of your family, your grandmother, who's in this photo right here. She is a big fan of CBS's The Equalizer. Now, is she an easy fan, or do you get critiques? Do you get notes from her?
Listen, I better make the show. Bottom line, because she is in that recliner watching that show every Sunday. And
she gets to spend Sundays with
yes,
you because she
I
gets
mean,
to see you on
listen,
TV.
Listen, there's literally days I was like, no, I'm not doing it. She's like, I just love that show. I just love the action. I just love all that action. And it's so funny. My 93-year-old grandmother loves all the action. And my Aunt Angel, who sits and watches it with her, gets so mad if football runs late or if there's like a special on. It's like, who is this Adele? And like, don't make me come up there and holler at Oprah. I'm like, whoa, calm down. They get serious about The Equalizer. So
one of the most extraordinary things that you were part of making was, I can't believe it's been 20 years now, but there you are as Mama whoa. Morton in Chicago 20 years ago.
Yeah.
For which you were nominated for an Academy Award. What do you remember about making that film? It's an extraordinary film.
It was an amazing time. I mean, Rob Marshall directed it. I remember having to audition 3 times to get the role. Mm-hmm. And by the third time, I was like, they got to tell me something or I'm not doing this again, you know. But it was, I had to earn that role because so many people wanted that role and all the Broadway dancers were in the film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here we got all these A-list actors, but everybody checked their ego at the door.
Did you guys have a sense that you were making something special? Because it ruled the Oscars that year. What
yes.
what do you remember about
I
that?
Absolutely felt like we were making something special. I think we all knew because even on our days off, now mind you, we're working like minimum 12 hours a day,
sure.
up to 18 hours a day. We're working long days through the winter. But people were coming on their days off to watch other people shoot because they were so excited about the way these shots were looking and what Rob had planned. And it was just such a beautiful thing to be a part of that people would just come in and hang out and watch it all happen. So we knew we were doing something really special, and it's the test of time.
We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I will ask Queen Latifah what actors she thinks might be good rappers. Stick around.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Now you have got the number one movie on Netflix, End of the Road.
What'd you say?
The number one movie on Netflix, End of
the Road. What? Sorry.
Starring you and fellow rapper Chris Ludacris Bridges.
Luda.
Okay. What is it like to transition from rapper to actor? You've been acting for a long time, but what's that transition like?
For me, it was a pretty good transition. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, to be honest with you. But mm-hmm. I think because we make videos as rappers, you know, we make videos. So we're used to performing mm-hmm. in front of the camera, hitting marks. But
I think rappers make some of the best guests on the show, by the way, because they all know how to present themselves. They all know how to relate to a crowd. Nothing throws them. They're fantastic guests.
Is something about to happen?
No.
Nothing throws
just a
them.
Compliment.
That sounds
just
like
take
a setup for
move
a
on.
Setup.
Just say no.
I don't know if I'm the Equalizer or the lady from the Brenda from End of the Road. I don't know what's happening, Colbert. Help me.
Do you know any other rappers who think like that person should act? I think that person would be a good actor.
I think a lot of rappers could be actors.
What about actors being rappers?
think a who's lot of the... actors want to be rappers.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Is anybody see the spirit in anybody who's got the right attitude?
I don't know. Who y'all got? Who you think? Who you think would be a good actor turned rapper? You know what I mean? You got a hot band.
I do.
All you need is a few bars. You got bars. You got bars. See, he's already a rapper. Anybody who says I got bars, they already are.
Just don't ask me to prove it. What about Denzel?
Denzel? Denzel could do anything.
I think so, too.
I think Denzel got that swag of a rapper anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so he definitely could do it. I could see Jude Law doing it, too.
Jude Law? Really?
That's
kind of English gentleman rapper?
Jude Law is cute and he can do anything. But that's just me.
All right.
That's just me.
Oh,
I think Meg Thee Stallion could do it.
Sure.
You know, I think, well, I mean, I think Lizzo could pull it off. I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of, you know, I think there's a lot of actors who, you know, could turn, I don't know, you gotta have some skills to be a rapper. Drake is already both. So this is, you know, we're good in that sense.
We have a clip here from End of the Road. What are we about to see?
Okay, so I play this mama who's trying to start our life over, you know, get a fresh start, and we're traveling across the country, and we wind up in this hotel, and something gets a little fishy in the middle of the night.
In the next room?
Next door. We're in a motel, so okay. You already know.
Jim.
Somebody throwing a party or something?
It's 4 o'clock in the morning, Rach.
That's when the best parties get started.
No, no, no. This sounds like a fight.
What?
I'm calling the front office.
Now, that definitely ain't no party.
I'm scared.
I'm not letting this go on.
What?
Mom.
Come on, please don't go out there.
I'm an ER nurse. For all we know, some woman might be getting beat by a man.
What you gonna do, go get caught in the middle of it?
Mom, no.
Sis.
Mom? Oh. Mom! Who was that?
Shh. Get out of here.
My first thriller.
So lovely to see you again. End of the Road is on Netflix now. Season 3 of The Equalizer premieres October 2nd, Grandma, right here on CBS.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.